listening to Package Your Genius, a conversation designed to give you clarity on your calling and serve as a catalyst for your career. I'm your host, Amanda Miller Littlejohn. Welcome back to Package Your Genius. I've missed you. Have you missed me? I am really enjoying being back from the sabbatical that I took for several months and the last few weeks of consistently showing up here for you and connecting with you as you've consistently shown up for me has just been magical. So thank you for being a part of the Package Your Genius podcast rebirth and renaissance of fall 2018. And today I want to talk about two things. First, I have a really specific question that I want to ask you and then some strategies to work around a problem or issue that may be holding you back in terms of your personal brand. And then after that, I want to share with you a special series for my new book. As you know, I have published Package Your Genius, and the subtitle is 5 Steps to Build Your Most Powerful Personal Brand. So I thought that over the next 5 weeks, I would share a little bit about each of the 5 steps so that you can get some more insights into what they are and how you should be using them in your life, okay? So let me start with that question that I mentioned asking you. And this is really connected to something I see a ton with everyone, really. So I would even say it's less clients more than it is friends, family members, people who I know and have a personal relationship with, and not necessarily the people who are coming to me for guided support around building a personal brand and making themselves visible, even though I think that that is an issue for them too. I would probably say it would affect also followers who have not made that commitment to begin to work with someone, who haven't hired a personal branding coach or haven't sought out communication support, and they're kind of just in the phase of trying to figure out what they're doing and trying to motivate themselves to get started, and they are holding themselves back. And the thing that I see so often, and I've even shared here that I've seen it with myself, is just an unwillingness to do certain things. And so my question for you, when it comes to your dream, your personal brand, the message and the impact that you see yourself making, like in a dream scenario, what are you unwilling to do? What are you unwilling to do? For so many of us, when it comes to self-promotion, we are unwilling to put ourselves out there for risk of looking stupid, looking foolish, looking thirsty, looking unprofessional, or, like we're doing everything ourselves, looking like we're pressed to be successful when we're still in the building phases. So many of us are not willing to start on the ground level. So many of us are not willing to start at the very bottom and show people that we are at the bottom. It's like we only want to share on social media or make announcements when we've hit the very top, right? And so as an example, and I've shared this to some degree before, but I do have more to share on this specific thing. I wrote Package Your Genius, the book. I put out the book and I knew that I wanted it to reach a critical mass. I wanted to build buzz. I wanted people talking about this book. But, you know, it was me, right? Here I am. And I knew that I wanted other people talking about it. But I realized that before I could expect others to carry the torch of my ideas, I had to carry it first. Before I asked people to get excited, I had to get excited. So that's what I've been doing, right? I've been posting with excitement daily. I knew that I wanted the book to be discussed by magazine writers and television producers and, you know, Oprah, right? Like, I wanted major media coverage, and I still do, and I'm still going after that. But before I can expect major media coverage for my book, you know, I think it's only fair to say that I need to get the type of coverage that I myself can create through using social media. And so if I'm not willing to put it out there using the channels that I already have at my disposal, how can I expect a larger channel to want to participate and get on board when I haven't done that legwork, right? And so the new development that I was referencing earlier is, you know, I published the book, I started publishing or sharing content daily on social media about it, even though in my own unwillingness, right, to beat a dead horse and to repeat myself and to be a broken record, as I talked about in an earlier episode, just to talk about this thing day in and day out, even though I'm, you know, almost sick of hearing myself talk about it, I was willing to do that. And last week, a journalist reached out to me. A journalist reached out to me and let me know that she had purchased the book, read the book, and thought the book was amazing. And because of that, she wanted to interview me for the media property that she contributes to. Now, the article piece has not run yet, and I will, of course, be sure to share as soon as it does. But what struck me the most about her request when she reached out to me and she asked me if I could make myself available to do an interview was that she said, you know, she said, I just kept seeing you post about this book on Instagram. So I thought to myself, let me go ahead and get this book, right? Literally. And I just kept talking about it. So much so that she was curious enough to order a copy. And because it's really apropos to where she is in her life and her career, she read it, you know, she read it fairly quickly, took notes, and decided that this was something that she wanted to report on because it helped her. And she thought that more people needed to know about it. But she would have never known about the book, you know, been able to order the book and get that, you know, life-changing, career-changing information that is contained within the book if I had not been willing to talk about it every day on social media. And so who knows who will see her article, the piece that she does, and who knows what readers will be exposed to the book because of the article she writes. I mean, there's video too. There was a full camera situation. So I'm not sure exactly how the piece is going to turn out, but I'm sure that she is going to get the book in front of a whole different audience than I was able to do it. But the very reason that I was able to get that opportunity is because I was willing to do what I could do, which was post on Instagram every single day. And I was telling a friend about that, like, you know, this journalist didn't read about me in the New York Times, right? Like, she didn't open the pages of Essence magazine and see me and say, oh, I need to reach out to her so that I can interview her for the properties that I report for. She saw me on Instagram, a platform that I can control, right? That I can contribute to. And she saw me because I was willing to do my part. And I can really speak to that because, to be honest with you, there have been times in my life where I was not willing to be so aggressive and to be so quote unquote thirsty and to talk about something so much, because even though self-promotion skills and visibility skills are what I teach, I understand how difficult they are to adopt because it's hard for me too, right? Sometimes it's hard. I mean, it gets easier with practice when you show up regularly. It's easier to keep showing up. But it's not like I wake up every day saying, how can I talk about myself today? Geez, I really want to, you know, talk to people about my book again, even though I feel like the people who follow me should already know about it because I've been talking about it so much. But that willingness to do my part and to do what I can do, I think it's fascinating how just like the laws of the universe, how that works. You know, if you're willing to step up and do your part, more things happen, right? But if you're not willing to do what you can do, what can you really expect? Who can you imagine that's going to discover your work? You know, we're waiting to be chosen. We're waiting to be acknowledged. We're waiting for someone to put us on a pedestal or put us on a platform to increase our visibility when we're not willing to do our part and do what we can do to increase our own visibility. And sometimes what I see with clients is we have all the ingredients and tools to get what we want, but we're not willing to do our part. So when it comes to your personal brand, your platform, your book, you know, your speaking career, your coaching business, your board seats, whatever it is that you want, have you pushed yourself to do what you can do first before you have started to expect others to celebrate you, to refer you, to clap for you, to send opportunities your way, to recommend you for bigger platforms and for bigger opportunities? Be honest. Have you done what you can do? That's how this works, right? I think when we're willing to do what we can do, bigger opportunities show up, but we've got to get in there first, carry the torch for ourselves first, and be privileged really and excited to be able to do that. When I think about my father, whom I wrote about in the book, and the challenges that he had connecting with an audience of customers that could have used his services back in the early 2000s, it just really reminds me of how privileged we are to have the opportunity to use self-publishing tools, social media, networking tools, and all the amazing technology we have at our disposal to connect with people across town and across the world. So many people have access to our ideas in a way that, you know, you just never could have made that impact or reached that type of audience 20 years ago. So we're really fortunate to live in the time that we're living in. So I wanted to give you strategies. You know, I'm not one to just open your mind and have you thinking about what you're doing or not doing, but I really want to leave you with some strategies to combat this or this unwillingness to go after what's yours. So for me, I found that when I am pushing up against the unwillingness, when I find myself feeling that sensation of not being willing to put myself out there or tackle a project or tell people about what I'm doing or make the sales calls or, you know, promote the podcast or the book or, you know, sit down and actually record the podcast or send the newsletter or do any of the things that will help me reach my goals in terms of visibility. So my visibility goals, you know, increasing my platform, my audience, or just reaching the people who need what I have to offer. I found that if I can make myself a promise or set a minimum goal, I am more likely to find success. And what I mean by that is before I give up, before I declare myself a failure, or I say that the project didn't work, or no one's listening to the podcast, no one's reading the book, no one wants to hire me for coaching. Before I make any of those declarations, I give myself a minimum goal and I say, you know, if you can get to this point, you will have given it your best effort, or at least an effort that says, okay, you tried, you put it out there. Maybe it didn't work, But until you've done X, you can't claim it a failure. You can't say it didn't work. So for example, when I first started the podcast, I remember I told myself, how will I know if people are listening or if people care or if this content is catching on? And I said, okay, Amanda, just record the first 12 episodes and then you can take it from there. So after 12 episodes, you can decide whether you want to keep going. You can decide whether you want to, you know, increase your frequency. You can decide if you want to change the format. You can decide if you want to quit. You can make an assessment after 12 episodes, whether or not this is working, if it's worth the time and energy that you've put into it, and if the audience is getting enough value out of this, if it's resonating enough for it to be worth your time. But before 12 episodes, you don't really have enough evidence to make that assessment. And so those are the types of things I'll give myself. I'll give myself kind of a minimum break-even point before I give up. So for example, if you have a podcast or you have a podcast idea and you keep going back and forth and your reason is, well, I don't want to record this podcast because what if no one listens to it? What if no one likes it? What if it does not resonate and I don't have an audience and I'm doing all of this work, but it's not getting me anywhere? It's a waste of my time. It's a waste of my resources. So I don't even want to try. So my advice to you would be to give yourself 12 episodes to see what happens. If you're starting your coaching business or any sort of business and, you know, you want to increase your sales and, you know, maybe you've been in business for a few months and no one's called you, no one really knows who you are, you know, give yourself a stretch goal like 14 consecutive days of cold calling or LinkedIn messaging people that you don't know, but who fit the profile of your ideal client. So every day for 14 days, or maybe every business day for 15 days, right? If you're going Monday through Friday, you are going to make 10 calls, 10 cold calls, or send 10 LinkedIn messages to new people. And after those 15 days, if you have not gotten one client, then you can say, all right, let me switch my strategy, do something else, or hang up my hat and not do this business. But until you've really given it that effort, you know, have you really given it a fair shot? So, of course, the first thing you have to decide is what it is that you want. So, do you want more clients? Do you want more book sales? Do you want more awareness in general? Do you want more speaking engagements, right? Do you want more job offers? How can you say you've given it your all if you're looking for a new role, if you're only filling out one job application a month? Or two job applications every few weeks? If you're really looking for a new role, you've got to get in there with the numbers. You've got to submit yourself to dozens of opportunities to really be able to say you did your very best. And so that's it. You take step one is you decide what it is that you want. What do you want more of? And then you give yourself an aggressive goal that is both quantifiable, but is also time bound, right? So in the example of cold calling, give yourself a daily goal of 10 calls a day. And you're going to do that every single day for 14 days, right? So the quantity is 10 calls. The length of time is 14 days. For the podcast episode piece, you're going to record one episode each week, and you're going to do that for 12 consecutive weeks. So you'll have 12 episodes at the end of the experiment. For me, with the book promotions, as I mentioned on an earlier episode, I gave myself 6 weeks, and I said I'm going to post every single day for 6 weeks. So not a day goes by without me posting at least once and at least on one platform about Package Your Genius, the book. Because if I'm not out here making noise about it, how can I expect people to know about it? And so the same goes for you. Even if you feel uncomfortable, if self-promotion isn't your thing, so we have to figure out ways to make it work for us. And I know for me, I can do anything if I know there's a starting point and an ending point, right? So I can buckle down mentally if I know I only have to do this for 1 week. And so you can take that approach to challenge yourself to reach a goal that is uncomfortable for you, but it needs to happen in order for you to get what it is that you want. So that's part one. So now I want to ease on into part two of this podcast, and that is the series that I mentioned on the book, Package Your Genius, 5 Steps to Build Your Most Powerful Personal Brand. So as I mentioned, the book, and for those of you who have the book, you know, the book is broken down into 5 steps. So there's 16 chapters, but the 16 chapters are divided into 5 major steps. So step one is to get clear on your brand. And I wanted to share a little bit about that. Lost my page. I wanted to share a little bit about getting clear on your brand, and I wanted to read a short excerpt from chapter 2, which is clarify your genius, identify your strengths, skill, and the value you provide. So I wanted to talk about this chapter and this particular excerpt because I know I do share and speak a lot on how to identify your strengths, how to identify what you should focus on in terms of building your personal brand, because in my perspective, that is the most critical piece, is the clarity around who you are, what you have to offer, the value that you add before you can start communicating that or broadcasting it through media and speaking. You really need to make sure you're clear on what you have to offer the world. So here is an excerpt from chapter 2, The Big Question. Who are you? How do you know who you are? One proven way to answer the question is to first identify your strengths. Now, I won't turn this into a book on strengths because there are dozens of wonderful books on that topic, but I will share an overview of how to figure it out, as well as a few tools that will help you. Why strengths? I firmly believe that your strengths are your truth mirrors. They're the windows into your authenticity. Strengths are like the cardinal directions of your internal compass. If it's grown too quiet and you can't quite hear your internal voice anymore, your strengths are fantastic guideposts. Another way to get closer to your strengths is to zero in on the parts of your work that drain you. The problem with focusing solely on your strengths is you can make the mistake of solving the right problem for the wrong audience, approaching the right audience with the wrong solution, or delivering the right solution in the wrong format. Basically, if you only focus on your strengths, you may end up with work that takes you almost to the fulfillment line, but stops short and feels incomplete. For example, you may see that something is working well for another person in your industry. Even if they seem to be having a great time with it, in time, you may come to realize that what works for them may not work for you because what energizes them may drain you and vice versa. So take a second to think about what drains you. Think about your current tasks, colleagues, or clients. There may be aspects of the work you enjoy even though other parts drain you. These are things you'll want to automate, delegate, or avoid altogether. So thank you for listening to that quick excerpt. I wanted to share that briefly because I do talk a lot about strengths and I do talk a lot about finding what energizes you and what people thank you for in order to really zero in on the value that you add and also where you find fulfillment because your energy doesn't lie. But I wanted to pinpoint that sometimes we are inclined to kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater if we are, you know, working with a client or maybe working in a role that isn't a fit. Sometimes there's just one aspect of the work that is wrong, right? So as I mentioned before, you may be doing the right task for the wrong audience, or maybe you're working with the right audience, but you're serving them in a way that doesn't serve you, right? So for example, maybe you are doing leadership coaching for young women, and it feels okay, but what you'd rather be doing is speaking in front of audiences of thousands of women, because your mode is not so much the coaching, but it's the speaking from a stage. Attorneys, I see this a ton with attorneys who are no longer fulfilled with their work. But oftentimes, if they can just use the skills that they have built over their legal careers in a new way, whether maintaining the status of being an attorney, but maybe moving from corporate legal work to nonprofit legal work or startup business legal work, or even being of counsel to an organization that matters to them, that can really help them reach that fulfillment that they're missing. So if you feel like, you know, you like your job, you like some aspects of your job, but you can't stand your coworkers, or you love what you do, but you wish you didn't have to go into an office to do it, you'd rather have a flexible working arrangement, it may be that the tasks are spot on, but the mode of working, the audience, the company is just not a right fit. And so sometimes we can tweak pieces of what we're doing and how we're showing up in our work and have a completely different experience on the other side. So thank you for listening, for showing up for me again, as I've shown up for you this week. It's been an honor to share this time with you once again. I will absolutely keep you posted on the media piece about the book. I will absolutely share that both on my website, and I'll probably link to it in a future episode of the podcast once it is available for you to read or watch, or however it's going to be made manifest once it's published. So I will keep you posted on that. If you have yet to procure your copy of Package Your Genius, you can do that on Amazon.com. If you do have a copy of the book and have had a chance to read it, I would be honored by your Amazon review. Thanks again for showing up and for listening. I'll see you next time.